the bread of the flesh. It was written or completed on June the 25th of 2013 by Daniel, a slave of Jesus Christ. Breaking the bread of the flesh, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in memory of me." Taken from Luke chapter 22 and verse 19. Why breaking the flesh? What does this have to do with being a Christian? First, let us say that breaking of the flesh in any endeavor of this life releases the spirit of the person. Hence, a person then, or can then be, deceived by the release of the spirit in breaking the flesh, thinking it is God's righteousness. In other words, a man works hard in the hot sun. He breaks his own flesh because his work is so arduous. After working, he feels redeemed and satisfied by the feeling of peace. He has conquered his flesh by hard work, breaking it, so he has the peace of the Spirit for a moment in his life. Subsequently, such a daily redemption through hard work becomes this man's religion and or his worship. Judging others that don't work as hard as less good. For God will bring every work into judgment with every hidden thing, whether it is good or whether it is evil. Taken from Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 14. The process of breaking the flesh is the first step to change, and it can be built upon in sports, the military, or in any other endeavor under the sun for growth into a new person. Yes, a person born into a new life of change. Changing bad habits into a professional, productive person having a career. Breaking the fleshly conversion. Many persons experience this breaking of their flesh before accepting Christ Jesus, yet caution is due here. But why? There have been many since Christ's time and before on earth in religions that are harsh on their flesh, holding strict obedience to a set of laws, doctrines, and or commandments from the Bible, which breaks the flesh, hence leaving the person with the feeling of righteousness by its very practice. However, is this the context of what Christ's words spoke above in breaking the bread when stating it meant his body or flesh? First, let us consider, breaking the flesh is oftentimes the very first step into conversion. However, not just conversion into Christ, but also into most human endeavors, which should make us question, was this then Christ's meaning of breaking of the flesh? When our sinful flesh, according to Scripture, is dead in Christ, the works of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and confidence forever. Isaiah chapter 32 and verse 17. Christ breaking of the bread. Christ's flesh was broken into death, where his spirit was released and made alive with his father Yahweh. But whom broke his flesh is the question. Christ or unrighteous men? And by what? It was by their rule of law, which were very harsh on the flesh of sinners. Christ was neither unrighteous, nor was he a sinner. Hence, he was sinless. And why is this so important? Jesus said to them, "Most certainly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you don't have life in yourself." Taken from John chapter 6 and verse 53. Because Christ also suffered for his sins, for sins once, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring you to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. 1 Peter 3 and verse 18. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the workings of God, who raised him from the dead. Colossians 2 and verse 12. This is important because each Christian in Christ Jesus has no flesh. That is, in God's eyes, they are dead to the flesh and its fleshly thoughts in Christ. Subsequently, a continual beating of their flesh with harsh commandments may indeed be just the opposite of being in Christ, but instead a work of their own flesh, misleading them into works of law, redemption, and or the feeling of righteousness has nothing to do with a Christian continually beating their flesh into control with God's commandment or words of our Bibles. Which things indeed appear like wisdom in self-imposed worship and humility and severity of the body, but aren't of any value against the indulgences of the flesh. Colossians 2 and verse 23. Breaking down the bread of Christ. Let us break down the bread of Christ into reality of truth. What does it actually mean for us? Christ's flesh was sinless bread, having no yeast of sin. He was the unleavened bread of God. Hence, we can all agree to that. Christ need not break down his flesh into obeying his Father Yahweh, but with the precious blood, as of a faultless and pure lamb, the blood of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. Obedience to God means being sinless. There is no lesser obedience God will allow for in fulfilling his righteous law. Thus, when a person is obedient without sin, there is no need of any commandment to convict them of sin, because they are living in love, not harming anyone, and they have no need of laws to tell them not to sin. Christ did not have to break his own flesh to obey God's commandments. He did not need the law of Moses convicting him of sin. He did not need the blood of animals to make him righteous, for he was sinless, thus being declared righteous by the law itself. Hence, Christ was free from the judgment of sin and the law's judging us as sinners, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who has been killed to receive the power, wealth, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessings." Revelation 5 and verse 12. So in this context, we must ask what breaking of the bread of Christ means for us as sinners. Many Christians have this idea that they stand after receiving Christ by their own good efforts, proving they are a Christian. In other words, by works they perform to show they are a Christian. These works are often rules from their Bible or their religion, and or were taught to them, being passed down from by family and friends. Moreover, when they do not meet these standards, it can often break their flesh, throwing them into a state of depression, unworthiness, until they do better the next time. Once broken, they assume because they failed, it caused them the breaking of their flesh, which in reality is a fleshly mind under sin's law that broke their own flesh by harsh judgments. Subsequently, they adhere even closer to the rule of law that they broke, becoming a fanatical to the point of self-induced blindness to God's love, which is freedom in Christ Jesus. That which is born of flesh, that which is born of spirit, is spirit. That which is born of flesh, is flesh. And that which is born of spirit is spirit. John chapter 3 and verse 6. It is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and are life. John chapter 6 and verse 63. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. John 8 and verse 15. Adherence to faith. But as a Christian, let us set the foundation of Christ firm upon faith. Let us not confuse breaking of our flesh with keeping the laws of our fleshly mind or of our religion better and or closer, leading us into the very destruction of our faith as not coming from God at all. Because the mind of the flesh is hostile towards God, for it is not subjected to God's law. Neither indeed can it be. Romans chapter 8 and verse 7 and verse 8 of the same chapter says, those who are in the flesh can't please God. First, once accepting Christ, we are sinless. We are not a little sinless or a lot sinless by works of law. We are instead sinless in Christ, to His perfection, and not our own. So let's stop here and ask, what is a work of law? Many religions use this phrase or term, but often it has no real meaning to us. Because by works of law, no flesh will be justified in His sight. For through the law comes a knowledge of sin. Romans chapter 3 and verse 20. A work of law for a sinner is any work they use to justify themselves as not being a sinner and or better than others. They are, at times, in the scriptures where it applied to the Jewish faith, having many works of laws by God's righteous law given to Moses. Hence, at other times, it can apply to those not of Israel, to the Gentile, by the laws of their own mind or their country. Simply put, a work of law is a law we meet to justify our sinning. In other words, if you're pulled over by a policeman for speeding, if you hadn't sped, hence kept the law, you would have been justified by the law, freed from its charges, its conviction and punishment of wrongdoing. For the law works wrath. For where there is no law, neither is there disobedience. Romans 5 and verse 15. The question begs, can we be justified before God by His righteous laws? Clearly, no, we can't. We may keep some of His laws very well, feeling justified in that specific area of our life, while breaking other commandments, which breaks our flesh, because we cannot stop sinning in some other area of our life. Thus thinking, next time by faith, I will be a little better at keeping the commandments and be justified by my efforts, proving I love God. Hence thinking erroneously that we are building up our flesh, i.e. our self-control, a good name with God by our fleshly efforts. But this is not faith in Christ. It is faith in ourselves and meeting a commandment. Those who are in the flesh can't please God. Romans chapter 8 and verse 8. For he who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Galatians 6 and verse 8. Loving God. Here is a problem for most of us. As shocking as this will be to many, we cannot prove we love God. We cannot prove we love God. We cannot prove we love God by keeping commandments. Which commandments we could not keep in the first place? Yes, we can never keep the commandments, which proves that we love God by our obedience. Once a sinner, always a sinner. What does this mean? It means once created a fish, always a fish. The fish does not become a bird at some point in its life. It lives as a fish and it dies as a fish. Can an Ethiopian change his skin? Or the leopard his spot? Then may you also do good who are accustomed to do evil. Jeremiah 13 and verse 23. We are born into sin. We have to be born again out of sin, not to be a sinner. We are born into sin and must die in our sins unless God intervenes and saves us out of them, out of our sinful flesh, which proves it is God's love and not ours. Hence, He loves us first, while we instead proved we don't love Him. How did we do that? By breaking His commandments. And this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. 1 John 4 and chapter 10. God is love. We cannot as a human be love like God is love because we sin. All sinners must have commandments in order to tell them how to love, which convicts us subsequently for not showing love. Now we come up on Christ breaking the bread. As already stated, Christ needed no commandments, being sinless. He showed love to His Father, not because of commandments, but instead He walked in love, And when he walked in love, there are no rules of laws against love. This is why love completes the commandments. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 5 says, "But whoever keeps his word, God's love has most certainly been perfected in him." This is how we know that we are in him. 1 John, I think I already said that, 1 John 2:5. 1 Peter 4 and verse 8 says, "And above all things, be earnest in your love among yourselves, for love covers a multitude of sins." Love doesn't harm a neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. Romans 13 and verse 10. Sinners cannot complete the commandments by obedience to commandments. Hence, they cannot love God as Christ Jesus loved God. Now, understanding this, please take careful note here. Once a person is a sinner, there is nothing within their power, their flesh, for them not to be a sinner. If you are a sinner, you cannot keep the commandments of God, and you cannot earn your way out of sin. A person has to be sinless to keep the commandments of God. Keeping some of them only breaks all the commandments. In other words, the law is perfect, like a mirror, reflecting God's perfect image, not our image. When we compare ourselves to God, we fall far short of his glory. If a person cannot enter into the race of life for being disqualified because of our sin, hence running the race unqualified will not win the prize of eternal life. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18 says, "But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. But he who looks into the perfect law of freedom and continues not being a hearer who forgets, but a doer of work, this man will be blessed in what he does." James chapter 1 and verse 25. The race ran forth. Salvation is not a word thrown around like a good luck charm. Salvation is real. It saves yours and my life from death that we cannot get out of. Salvation is God's love, and not yours or mine. Salvation is someone running the race of life for us while we broke his flesh in judging him wrongly by the laws that apply only to sinners. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom can be no variation nor turning of the shadow. James chapter 1 and verse 17. Our salvation is received not by works, for by breaking our flesh, we are sinless in Christ Jesus' life. We walk in love as a sinless person does, without commandments convicting us of sin. Once sinless, there is no law of the flesh that can make us obedient. We are not disobedient because of Christ's life, which makes us sinless. In other words, harsh, demanding treatment of our flesh is of no value at all. Our flesh is dead, having no value before God by its obedience. The obedience God accepts is Christ Jesus, not ours. This is why a person must become a part of Christ Jesus' own spirit body, hence receiving holiness by Christ and through his life. 1 Peter 3:21 explains this. This is a symbol of baptism, which now is saving you. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Born again, killing the flesh. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23 states, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and remains forever. Although harsh treatment of our flesh causes us feelings of release and redemption in our spirit, Christ did not break his own flesh. Unrighteous sinners did under the law. We do not break our own flesh by obedience to religious dogma, doctrine, rules of law, and or commandments of God. Our flesh is dead in Christ Jesus, killed by not having God's judgment against it by laws of our flesh, as already stated. Now we know that whatever things the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be closed and all the world may be brought under the judgment of God. Romans 3 and verse 19. Yes, dead to its deserved judgment, dead to sin, dead to works of law, dead to any righteousness outside of Christ's righteousness found in his body, which we have been made a part of. Hence, born again from the sins of our flesh into a new life of Christ Jesus, made alive, free from sin of our flesh, into the sinless, imperishable life of Christ Jesus. But now, being made free from sin, and having become servants of God, you have your fruit of sanctification and the result of eternal life. Galatians 6 and verse 22. Our sins are not removed from us, but removed from God's sight and his judgment, because he sees the righteousness of the Passover Lamb, Christ Jesus, which abolishes our deserved judgment, having abolished in the flesh the hostility, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man of two, making peace. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 15. But has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the good news. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10. Deception of the flesh. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For I desire is present with me, but I don't find it doing that which is good. Romans chapter 7 and verse 18. Our flesh is a deception to the truth. It distorts the truth of God like a huge tree of sin. When the sun crosses the sky casting every variation of shadow upon the ground, so goes the sinful flesh for deception. Thus breaking the flesh in obedience of righteousness is a lie. It cannot be done. No human can put away the filth of their own flesh from sinning. Redemption of the flesh is a lie. God did not redeem our flesh at all. He instead killed it in Christ as irredeemable. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and lust. Galatians 5 and verse 24. Redemption from hard work of our flesh is not from God. Although it gives us great satisfaction, leading to good mental health, and perhaps clearing our thinking about Christ, it is not of God. Being in strict religion, which demands obedience, is not God's righteousness. Christ Jesus is God's righteousness. Not our flesh or making it obey a rule of law, deceiving ourselves by looking into a mirror of commandments, turning away from God's judgment of breaking the commandments, then teaching others it is God's righteousness. It is of no value at all. It has deceived the heart of the one forgetting their own cleansing from sin in Christ Jesus. But of him who are in Christ Jesus, who was made to us wisdom from God, who was made to us righteousness, who was made to us sanctification, who was made to us redemption. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30, and that was paraphrased. Faith beyond the curtain of flesh. A Christian can move no further than death if they live in God's law for the sinful flesh, which should be dead in Christ. Faith sees beyond the flesh, which means, please note here, laws judging the flesh as evil and or as a sinner, just as it is. Did you catch that point? If we judge by laws of the sinful flesh, commandments or laws convicting us of sin, we have no faith in Christ Jesus. We are promoting and trying to save this life by laws of the flesh dead in Christ. The flesh is of no value at all for those in Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ living in me. That life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. We cannot see Christ by laws of sin. Laws convict us of sin and death. We can only see Christ Jesus by faith, which faith is in God's love, a spiritual condition, unseen by human eyes. The curtain of flesh veils our eyes to God and his Son Christ Jesus. It is our putting off of the flesh in Christ Jesus that we walk in love, the law of Christ. But to this day, when the Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 15 and 16. We are hopelessly in death without faith. For without faith we are in the flesh. Our being in the flesh, we are justifying every action by some law giving us merit or reducing our merit. But by faith in Christ, God gives us the merit of Christ Jesus' life, which means a sinless life justifies us as sinless making us God's children. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. 1 John 2:29. Going the whole distance. The race of life was completed for us. The runner was a perfect man without sin. He ran for love of his Father, completing for us that which we could have never done. In him is salvation. In him is the meaning of life. Do you understand? The tree of life is Christ Jesus. Within him is our life without sin. But we must be grafted into his life, receiving the life of that tree. If we must run without Christ, we are dead to any good work that will give us the tree of life. Even so, every good tree produces good fruit, but the corrupt tree produces evil fruit. A good tree can't produce evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree produce good fruit. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 17. Hence, we cannot go part of the way. We must go the distance, accepting unmerited kindness as a complete gift of God's salvation. We cannot revert into breaking our flesh by works of law, feeling we are justified by such an illusion of righteousness felt in our flesh. We must see past the deception of the flesh into the reality of Christ by God's Spirit in the truth. We must know that nothing good is found in our flesh, not even our good desires to be perfect by law and rules. Such desires are not of the life of Christ Jesus, whom had no laws of the flesh judging him. Our flesh and its desires are dead in him. Christ does not live in fear of judgment. He is free in the law of love, casting out all such evil of flesh outside into darkness. Christ perfected faith sinlessly for us. We receive his life, his faith, and his righteousness, which cleanses us from all dead works of the flesh. There is nothing we have that we have not received through the life of Christ Jesus, which is the perfect will of God for us, undeservingly, as commandment breakers. Can a fig tree, my brothers, yield olives, or a vine fig? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by his good conduct his deeds are done in gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousies and selfish ambition in your heart, don't boast. Don't lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but it is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition are, there is confusion and every evil deed. James chapter 3, chapter 3, verse 12 through 16. May each of us seek the wisdom of God, Christ Jesus, by Holy Spirit, not the wisdom that comes from our flesh. In this planting of spirit, we will reap eternal life. We'll conclude this side of the tape with a daily Bible thought from Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 39, shrinking back to destruction, which was posted on July the 4th of 2013. Hebrews 10:39, but we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the saving of the soul. Can a person worship, serve, please, and or know God, Yahweh, without faith? No. They cannot. It is impossible to come to know the personality of God or the Son of God by works of law. In fact, the very righteous, holy law of God given to Moses did not explain God perfectly. It was rather just a mere shadow of God's personality. So here these first century Christians were faced with a question. Would they stay in Christ by faith or shrink back to the mundane shadow of the law, putting faith in it over Christ Jesus? Really, this is the truth of the book of Hebrews. Not like legalistic Christians teach that it's about keeping the law and the commandments of God. No, that point had been proven for thousands of years. Not one person to this date ever kept the commandments of God but Christ Jesus. All were declared not righteous, but rather unrighteous sinners by God's commandments, having no way out of this jail sentence, convicted as a criminal, hence a convict by the society of God's righteous standards. What foolish person, after receiving the undeserved pardon, would return to the vomit of declaring themselves righteous by works of their own flesh? But it has happened to them, according to the true proverb, the dog turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to wallowing in the mire. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22. However, that's precisely what these foolish Christians were fighting for. Hate. But why were these Christians filled with hate? Weren't they Christians? What causes weed Christians to become so hate-filled? It is judgment. Judgment of what? Works of law. Yes, judging others as evil by what works of law they perform and they don't. Here, these Christians were running back to self-righteousness, setting themselves up into the very temple of God to judge what Christ Jesus had delivered them from, the hate of the law, judgment, the wrath of the law, which could only partly atone for their sins by inferior animal blood. As a dog that returns to his vomit, so is a fool who repeats his folly. Proverbs 26 and verse 11. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, he will be saved from God's wrath through him. Romans chapter 5 and verse 9. For as many are of these works of law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who doesn't continue in all the things that are written in the book of the law to do them. Quoted from Deuteronomy chapter 27 and verse 26, and that verse was that we just read was Galatians 3 and verse 10. Yes, these newly sprouted weed Christians were judging flesh, dead in Christ Jesus, to maintain the importance of being a teacher, to appear righteous in their own flesh before others, making strong unrighteous judgments, which Christ commanded them not to do. They were judging and walking by faith in the law, in dead works, which law crucified Christ Jesus, acquitting them of judgment. But this was not enough for these self-righteous wannabe Christians, just like the wickedness of the fleshly mind, judging a person whom is already dead in Christ with laws meant strictly for sight and the sinful flesh, not faith. Laws completed in Christ. Hence, returning to no sacrifice for sin under the law, willing to impale Christ daily for their works of law to prove they are better than another sinful human on earth. You are alienated from Christ. You who desire to be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace. Galatians 5 in verse 4. This is a symbol of baptism, which now saves you, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Christ Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. This is the power of the flesh for judgment. How can a person say something so strong? Simply put, obey the commandments of Christ and try to stop judging for one day. Then you will declare God righteous. Your mouth will be stopped in justifying the filth of your flesh, hence begging God for his wonderful mercy by faith in Christ Jesus. If you actually practice this, you will stop looking at the splinter in your brother's eye and see the beam in your own, having abolished in the flesh the hostility, the law, commandments contained in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man of the two, making peace.